There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back, second hour of the weekend edition. We are chatting right now with a new guest, and I got to tell you, Sarah or Sally, whatever is your correct moniker, thank you very much for bringing Mr. Henty to our attention. Craig, you have a very successful precious metals, specifically gold website called tfmetalsreport.com. I like it a lot. We spent some time on it. You're an interesting guy, man. Tell us how you got started in this business.
It's actually really fallen into my lap. I've been trading commodities since I was in college. I have a brother-in-law who is a commodities broker, so I've been trading commodities and commodities options since 1987. But I've been in the securities business as a stockbroker and other positions ever since I got out of college. So it's been all I've ever done. But I wanted to get out of that a few years back. And in spending some free time right after the financial crisis on the internet, I got involved in Zero Hedge in kind of its infancy as a, not as a, you know, a contributor or anything, but just as a regular member back when it was still a pretty small site. And I guess I just developed kind of a knack using my accumulated experience and the peculiarities of the metals markets. I got a little following there of people wanting to know what I was always thinking. My screen name at Zero Hedge was Turd Ferguson off of an old Saturday Night Live character. And folks at Zero Hedge, the other readers always kept telling me I needed to start my own site so that they didn't have to search Zero Hedge to find out what Turd Ferguson was thinking. And I always thought, that's crazy. I'm just some regular Joe out here in the middle of nowhere. Why would people want to know what I think? But I did, and timing was advantageous. It was the fall of 2010, and things were just getting ready to explode. And my little Blogspot site just took off from scratch, became one of the biggest precious metal sites in the world. And we converted that into its own dedicated site, tfmetalsreport.com. And it's been a rather rough ride in the 4 years since, but we keep on chugging away. Everybody there is looking out for each other, trying to prepare for what we call the end of the Great Keynesian Experiment, because we know that this unsustainable path of debt is, well, just that, not sustainable. And so they might keep things afloat for as long as they have, but it's not going to go on indefinitely. And we've all got to prepare for what's most definitely coming.
Well, Craig, let's get into that now. I think that your website is great, and I highly recommend everybody to go there and check it out. Again, that is tfmetalsreport.com. Let's talk about where gold is going. You mentioned once you started up the site, unfortunately, it hasn't exactly been great times for gold and gold investors. Is that going to change anytime soon? What's your outlook?
I really thought, frankly, I thought 2014 was going to be that beginning of turning the ship, you know, riding the ship in the right direction. But, you know, it is kind of like the old metaphor of turning a battleship. It takes time. And 2014, obviously, didn't turn out that way. We were about flat for gold. I think in the end, maybe we might have been down 1% by the way we settled on New Year's Eve. But you can clearly see, though, we made some real progress late in the year. Price came down dramatically. The high-frequency trading algorithms that control the paper markets have attached gold and the Japanese yen at the hip. And if you pull up a chart of the yen and invert it versus a dollar and you lay gold over it, you can see that in the last 3 years they've been very closely correlated. And those machines drove the price of gold down through the cost of production and through the level where it was physically available in early November last year. And we found a floor at about $1,150. We went back down and tested that floor in December, and we've tested it actually a couple times this year as well, and I really think that's as low as we're going. There are a lot of forecasts out there, people saying, oh, $950 and $750 and all this kind of stuff, as if there will be no physical demand that would preclude that. I would say we found a physical floor at $1,150. We are riding the ship now. We are turning it. We're kind of tacking forward into the wind by kind of going sideways. And, you know, I don't have real lofty goals should the present system continue all through the year. You know, if we could put on a 10 or 15% year, get gold back to somewhere around 1300, 1350 by the end of the year, I think then that would be clear to everybody that the momentum has turned. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for at this point.
What's going to take it back up to $1,300, $1,400 an ounce? What's the catalyst here?
Well, and that's the hard part, because the physical price is still set by these paper markets. And the paper markets are controlled by these high-frequency trading computers, and then the bullion banks that act as kind of de facto market makers by issuing paper contracts. And so the speculators come in there based on safe haven, you know, bids or increased quantitative easing or what happened with the euro and the Swiss franc in January. And speculators come in and start buying up paper futures contracts in New York. Well, these bullion banks that act as the market makers just issue brand new naked short contracts to meet that demand. And they just issue and they flood the paper market with all these paper contracts to the point where finally momentum stalls out and never gets a chance to build on itself. That's what happened in January. The market tips over. The momentum tips back over. The speculators that bought in January start to sell in February, and all of a sudden we're right back to where we were. And so that's the question, is what will it take to eventually break that, to actually generate some upside momentum? And that's what continues to take time. That's why I don't want anybody to get ahead of themselves. Probably almost more importantly for most folks at this point is that the knowledge, or at least the comfort that I can provide in thinking that I think we've gone as low as we're going to go. If it continues to take time to turn and move through 1,200 and 1,300, I'm okay with that. And I think most people probably are. They just don't want to see it go down into the triple figures.
Craig, I have to say, I think this sideways movement in the, I guess, general gold price is a fairly good thing right now. And I think it provides investors a nice baseline to start analyzing some of these companies, especially the miners, now that we don't have a falling gold price. And if it moves sideways, then it is actually, I think, easier to separate which companies can and will continue to generate a profit. Moving on from here, I think we also need to chat about the demand internationally for gold. I think it provides a very nice base to the gold price. What do you say?
Oh, no question about it. You know, when price was smashed in 2013, one of the things that halted that tide of selling was this huge increase in physical demand from points east, whether it's China, India, wherever. We got down to 1180 in June of 2013 and really haven't gone lower over the now 2 years. And it really is that physical floor that comes in there. Like I said, it was 1150 last year. It's still around 1180 now. That physical demand is what is continuing to hold up the paper price. If it was just paper derivatives, if there were no physical delivery, then it would have been jammed much lower from here. But for the paper price to have any legitimacy, there has to be physical deliveries made at that paper price. And what we found in late 2014 is we kind of reached a breaking point where the paper price was being electronically jammed and manipulated lower, but there was a real shortage of physical supply, and there was a divergence between the two, and that's what ultimately put a floor under that paper price, and that floor remains. So, yeah, you're right. That physical demand that is consistent, that is almost ever-present at this point from China and India and some of these other creditor nations, that's a key linchpin to supporting price, and I suspect that, again, I think we should also expect that to continue.
Tell us where you came up with the $1,150 floor.
I just saw it in action. Paper price of gold has been kind of linked to the value of the Japanese yen versus the dollar, and they were trading very close correlation last fall. And as the yen was collapsing due to Bank of Japan's quantitative easing, gold went with it. And as it kept going down, the yen continued to go down, but gold pivoted off of 1130, 1140 in early November, and at that exact same time, what we call the gold forward rates in London went historically negative, which told us that gold was in for immediate delivery was in very short supply. And I just kind of connected the two and said, well, here's a spot where price broke from that paper-driven market. The physical market broke from the paper. And I just kind of made a note. Let's just see if that continues to hold. And it has continued to hold. And that has just kind of built up my confidence that I think I'm onto something. So I think 1150 is a physical floor until hopefully we don't have to test it again. And then we can begin to rebuild and restart the bull market from here.
Craig, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We're definitely going to bring you back on because I think you have some great comments on the precious metals specifically. Everybody, again, go check out Craig's website, tfmetalsreport.com.
free from the shackles of corporate America. We're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back.
Corey and I are chatting right now with Yale Simpson. Yale is the chairman of a company that Corey owns stock in, Big Al owns stock in, and Doc owns stock in, and that's Exeter Resources. So we're not really going to talk so much about Exeter Resources right now. Yale, you've been in this business for an awful long time, and in that 35 or 40 years, aside from building companies, you also have a pretty good handle on what's going on from an investment standpoint in the economies around the world, you know, Europe, United States, Canada, et cetera, et cetera. What I don't understand right now is why there is such a disconnect between the price of gold and the conventional markets in the United States. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, people, as you probably well know, haven't felt a need to invest in gold as a safe haven. I mean, is risk on or is risk off? So gold has just become another commodity where they will jump into when they feel insecure. You know, what's interesting in gold pricing is the gold is totally reactive. And you can look at the technical side of it all day and just say, okay, why did gold go up $20 today? You know, this gold's been doing very well, right? We're all looking at the 1225 and will it break through? And I'm sure Doc talks all about that. But gold is reacting to things, okay? It reacts to the U.S. dollar price. It reacts to something else. Gold is not setting its own path, okay? And people are frustrated with that. Okay, really, really frustrated. And it's got to break out. And people got to say, wow, I see why gold is moving. Look at all the golds that poured into China. We didn't see that one coming. You know, that's the sort of thing that will change the equation.
Yeah, I think those are great comments on the gold market. And it's taking it from a very fundamental standpoint, saying we can all say how great gold should be doing, but the fact of the matter is it is very reactive right now. And I think that is just a function of being in a four-year difficult market where a lot of investors have left gold. And right now, they're not seeing any reason to dive into the metal, I don't think. But that being said, I think the currencies are playing a big role, not only in the conventional markets, but also in the gold market, especially with the U.S. dollar. You spend some time down in the U.S., you have a good grasp of what's going on. What do you think is happening with the U.S. dollar, and where do you think it's going?
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday, I converted half of my Canadian cash to U.S. dollars, okay, because I think the Canadian dollar is close to topping out. Okay, and I'm going to wait a little bit longer, then convert some more, and I'm going to be very happy to be topped up in U.S. dollars because I missed the last big move. You know, I mean, the Canadian dollar, as you know, was at par with the U.S. Down it went, right? And I'm one of those people who feel there's another leg down for the Canadian dollar, the Aussie dollar. I think we're on a kind of dead cat bounce here for a lot of these currencies. So this is the first time I have sold the Canadian dollar to buy the. I've never done that before in my life.
Why do you think the Canadian dollar specifically is going to go lower? I don't see it, but why do you?
Well, because I think the oil price is on a bounce, and I don't think it's going to stay at the levels. I think it's going down again. I think there's a lot of supply to come out of in the Middle East that isn't coming out yet, but it is going to come out, and I think we're going to see lower oil prices, and hence, that's my view of the Canadian dollar.
Okay, so you feel that the Canadian dollar moves directly with the price of oil, right?
That's right. And of course, it has a relationship to the U.S., all of that. So
sure.
That's where I'm of the view. I've been studying the oil supply side, and I've seen that Saudi Arabia in particular, for them to maintain market share and all of that, they've got to be selling more into the market. All of those Middle Eastern economies must do. And so that's going to take the price lower. I know we can talk about fracking and all of that sort of stuff, and will U.S. be able to maintain supply, all that sort of stuff. But that's just my view. I think there's risk in holding the U.S., the Canadian dollar, or the Aussie dollar, any of those long-term here. I notice it's gone up a bit since yesterday, so I'm not saying overnight I'm right, but I'm saying over the next few weeks, I think you'll see the Canadian dollar turn and head down. And it could go down to 75 cents.
I'm on board with you thinking that the U.S. dollar is going to turn and start heading up, because if you want to compare the U.S. economy to the Canadian economy, just last week we saw numbers come out of Canada that we actually lost jobs. And we talk about the jobs that are being added in the U.S. as, you know, not being the highest quality jobs, yada, yada, yada. The fact of the matter is jobs are being added down south and jobs are being lost up north. And that just is a further point, I think, that shows the difference in the two economies right now and the reason why the U.S. dollar is going to rise in comparison to the Canadian dollar. And I also think that the U.S. dollar is going to rise in comparison to the euro, just because we do have a lot of turmoil out of Europe that I think is, in a way, just getting started, and I think will lead to a Greek exit out of the euro.
Yeah, I agree. And the reason I'm doing a currency play here is because, you know, the last time when the Canadian dollar was so high, I mean, I should have made 20-25%. A lot of people called it. You know, Michael Campbell on CKNW in Canada, he called this a long time ago. He's calling it again now. He says, Canadian dollar's getting ridiculously high. Sell it. I think that's totally right. So, Mary, we could be talking Aussie dollar here. It wouldn't really make a lot of difference. They get the same issues as Canada. I think on the gold side, and that's something I follow so much more, is that it may take us a while here bouncing along, you know, at these sorts of prices, and that isn't all bad in terms of the industry getting its act together. And as you know, you look at the fundamentals of a lot of these companies, and they're way better companies now than they were before. But as you know, as this drags out, and all of these new projects get deferred, postponed, and you look at Exeter. Exeter is one of those things. If Exeter was in a bull market with the sorts of market cap it had before, you would see a lot more momentum on that project than today. Because the fact is that these big projects, and Exeter isn't that big, bigger projects, a couple hundred million. We used to call it a mega project and talk about the big porphyry development, but even a couple hundred million dollar projects, it's a real struggle for these companies to put those things together. I mean, look at what Rubicon's gone through and companies like that to get their projects financed, right? So all of these things get deferred. They just slow down, and then there's the big catch-up. Here's what I really like about Exeter relative to the bigger play. If you look at companies, for those of people who had Mine Finders was the company sold to Pan American Silver. But if you looked at it through 97 to 2002, that stock was 10% of what it was ultimately sold for. It was a project like ours. It was ready kind of to go. It just needed a different market to take it there. And when it did, it increased by 1,000%. So Exeter is one of those ones that the people in the know who've looked at that project, I'm talking about the banks and what have you, and competitor companies said, real project, when will the breakout come? And I'm not going to give you that answer, by the way, because I don't know specifically the answer, and I don't want to talk specifically about a fundamental thing in Exeter. But, you know, you can't have these companies languishing forever, and Exeter is one of them where it's got the value, it's got the cash, and people are going to look at it one day and say, that was a no-brainer. Just like Mine Finders was a no-brainer at the time of the last big pullback in gold prices.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, And the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try heart and body extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now, online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing the second hour, we've got our roundtable with our three musketeers. They're not our three musketeers. They're your three musketeers, three of the brightest guys in the industry. Rick Ackerman, Dr. Richard Postma, Chris Temple. You know, I'm going to throw something out there that I'd be curious to see what you guys think about this, and I would certainly be curious to hear what listeners think about this. I would maintain that with the new paradigm that is controlling the conventional markets today, I think in terms of preservation of capital, maybe not a whole lot of appreciation, but certainly preservation of capital, I would maintain that the conventional markets, at least in the midterm, are a pretty damn good place to be. How about you, Doc?
Well, Al, the way I look at it is this, and I said it before. We're long in the tooth in this market. It's one of the longest I've ever seen. You have a situation where you know that growth is not going to come back for the globe anytime soon. It's almost impossible because of our debt structure globally. So we're going to have minimal growth. With high debt, we're going to move from crisis to crisis. And when you look at the valuation of the market, both on a tape basis, which is Schilling's way of looking at the market, it has to do with cyclically adjusted PEs. And when you look at capitalization to GDP, they're both high. And I say to myself, why should I take a risk at this point to put in new money into this market when the reward is ultimately minimal? And having looked at that, I know that markets come and go. They move up, they move down. And so I say to myself, I better go to someplace that's safe. And where do I go? Well, I go into an area that's just gotten crushed. And that's precious metal stocks and resource stocks, which some of them aren't going to come down yet. But I will look to take positions because then I'm a patient person and I'll wait because you can get a 50 to 100% return very quickly in some of those stocks. But I'm willing to wait because I've seen this scenario before. But I don't want to be in the conventional market. I don't want to add new money to it at this point in time based on what I said.
Now, Rick, sticking with the whole preservation of capital mentality, do you think putting money in the conventional markets for, let's say, either 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years is a safe spot for it?
I think you're playing with fire here. You know, I can give you maybe 100, 200 good reasons why you shouldn't have any money in stocks at all right now. The only compelling reason to keep your money in it is because you believe in the global monetary blowout that's taking place even as we speak. But things are getting pretty pumped, especially as we talked about earlier today, the housing market, all the metro area reports for housing prices are really, they're rising at a very steep rate. So we're really kind of blowing a bubble, not even comparable to 2007 in absolute terms. When you compile all the main assets together, stocks, real estate, and bonds, we're more pumped up than we were in 2007. So I don't see the logic of putting your money in the stock market here.
Now, Chris, throwing it over to you, you always have some very good aspects of the market that you're looking at. I know long-term interest rates have definitely been on your radar. Do you think that preservation of capital is at least a reasonable idea to keep it in the markets because, you know, the Fed or the big banks have your back?
Generally speaking, that's the way things have been. That's going to get more troublesome, and because of the reasons that both Rick and Doc have pointed out, we've already had several years of this. We're already stretched. Nobody wants to buy it at a cyclical high, so I would quibble as far as the timing. You know, 10 years from now, I would venture a guess that the Dow Industrials, which today are around 18,000, will be 30,000. But we're not going to get there in a straight line. There's a much better chance that we're going to have one or two major downward moves, probably close to one of them now, in the interim. But the big story when you talk about preservation of capital, even in that context, is that, yes, the stock market will do better than some things of preserving your purchasing power. It has over time, and it will continue to do so. But generally speaking, you know, what the Dow at 30,000 will buy you in a decade may not be any more than the Dow at 18,000 will buy you today in goods and services and the necessities of life. And with my belief that we've entered this stagflation-like type of environment that I've talked about, we're going to increasingly gravitate towards those segments of the market, Doc spoke to this, that are beaten up, that represent good value, and that will do well in a stagflationary type of environment where you've still got a lot of central bank money printing, but still no traction when it comes to prompting economic growth. And by process of elimination, the managed money, big funds will go into commodities, basic materials, the necessities of life, if you will.
I don't really disagree with any of you guys. I, too, think gold and gold mining stocks are a great place to be right now. But remember my mantra, and my mantra is every time I meditate on the word diversification.
Well, I'll pick up that. As we put out on one of our newsletters, I invest a little bit differently than that. I know you diversify, but I tend to look at it from the standpoint of a Stanley Druckenmiller, a hedge fund manager, and there are others like him, that I look at sectors from a contrarian standpoint. And when they are hurt and injured and maimed, I will focus on those, and I'll put a large percentage of my capital in those. And it's always served me well because I'm a contrarian. And so I invest a little bit differently, and I don't advise everybody to do that because I do my research. Whereas others aren't able to do it, it's best to diversify. But for me, I have a little bit of that riverboat gambling feeling when we get into situations like this. And I've been here before. I've seen this happen before, so I have some experience in it. So I will not diversify, but I will go into those segments that have been hurt badly, and I will put most of my capital in them.
Now, guys, touching back on preservation here, and whether it's diversified preservation or just simply you have this money that you want access to, say, 3-4 years down the road, Chris, over to you. Would you rather put it in stock market, gold, or just keep it in the savings account? Because right now we don't have inflation eroding away at it.
Right this second, Corey, I would rather keep the preponderance of the money in cash. If, as I'm concerned about right now, we see this recent rise in interest rates morph from a healthy one to an uncontrollable one that causes margin calls around the world, as it's started to do a couple of times in recent days, I would be much happier being mostly in cash, because that'll mean by the end of this year you're going to be buying the stock market for 20 or 30% off. And that's the point at which I would probably lean toward Al's thesis of saying, okay, if you're careful with your selection, that would be the point after that kind of a retracement that I'd be more interested in putting a greater portion to work for the long haul.
Rick, we only have about 45 seconds left. Same question to you. Cash, stocks, savings account, gold, what?
Well, I like cash very much in the form of long-term treasuries. We've had a huge sell-off, and I still think that the move is corrective. We're going to have another big leg up on bonds corresponding to 30-year rates under 2%.
All right, guys, interesting roundtable discussion here. And I think a topic that people do need to consider when investing at least a certain portion of their portfolio is, where do you feel safe putting your money and where do you think at least it won't go down? Because for a lot of people right now, we have seen some pretty violent swings in not only the stock market, also in the precious metals, and even in the U.S. dollar. So I think you just need to be comfortable with where the best place to preserve your money is. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times bestselling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earthfiles publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Okay, we are here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report with our friend Glenn Downs. Glenn has actually, I would say, very deservedly achieved the title of our Washington insider, in the sense that, Glenn, you've been making a living back in Washington, D.C., after you got a master's degree in economics in various positions for how long now, about 20, 25 years?
About 22 years here in Washington. Once upon a time, I was a banker, and I don't know if that makes sense. That counts as being a more honest living than working for politicians, but that's what I did. And then I ended up going to work for the governor of North Carolina, I thought, for a short period of time, and one thing led to the other, and I ended up in Washington working over in the U.S. Senate, and then eventually made my way over here to the House of Representatives. So I've been able to see, as a consequence of that life track, I've been able to see a lot of the, obviously, events of over the past 25, 30 years that are consequential, but also been able to see a lot inside of a lot of the institutions that are impactful to the people that listen to the Corlin Economics Report.
Well, something I think is very impactful, you know, people are talking about the economy in the United States, perhaps, disintegrating. Maybe that's too strong a word. I don't know. But the one comment that I would make is we've got some things coming up on the calendar right now that really, you know, give me cause for concern. One of them is the Highway Department is on the verge of bankruptcy. A portion of Social Security, specifically the disability portion, is going to run out of money next year. And the list kind of goes on and on and on, Glenn. You know, all is not well in Mudville, man.
Absolutely not, Al. You know, you think about those shows you'd see on the Ed Sullivan Show or whatever, where a guy would come out there and start spinning plates on poles, and you get all these different plates spinning, and it got more and more and more and more complex as you try to keep that whole show going. And I think that reminds me of what our economic situation is like. And like so many of these things, the government is so intertwined at so many different levels. And of course, obviously, as Ron Paul likes to say, money is one half of every transaction in our economy, and at least the agency of the government, Federal Reserve, controls money. So the government's so deeply involved, and there's so many things where the wheels are on the verge of coming off, and that all it would take is one misstep to start leading to a chain reaction of different things. You know, you mentioned for example, the highway trust fund. The Federal Highway Trust Fund is where all the money from the gas tax comes in and goes to the federal gas tax code, and then in turn gets sent out to the states. And most of the money that goes to build highway construction in, around in the various states and bridges, this comes from that Federal Highway Trust Fund. Well, the trust fund's broke. And so that has been patched together and extended out to the end of the month of May. But there needs to be some sort of a fix. And if you don't fix that and replenish it with some money, then you just pay as you go with the gas tax. And that's not nearly enough to do the projects that they've already started out there. So that's just one example of things that could happen. You mentioned the Social Security Disability Fund going broke. You know, there are three trust funds in Social Security. There's the Old Age and Survivors Fund, which is the pensions that people think about. Then there's Medicare, which is really just a bottomless pit in terms of spending. And I've had family members that have gotten care from Medicare, so I'm not belittling any people wanting to get care. But just understand that the typical Medicare beneficiary is taking three times more out of the system than they and their employer put into it. So if you don't have more and more and more people at the bottom of the pyramid putting in exponentially more and more and more money, sooner or later you have a day of reckoning on that. But that's a little ways off. But immediate is the disability fund, and that's become almost a de facto permanent unemployment fund for some people that have just kind of reached the end of their ability to get a job like they want to get, and they've applied for disability. And they may have some legitimate ailments, but you just apply and reapply and reapply, and eventually they get it. Well, that fund, it runs out of money next year, and there are rules that have been put in place to keep Congress from just transferring money from a more flush trust fund within the Social Security system into that disability fund. So something's going to have to be done. And if it's not, then immediately it goes back to a pay-as-you-go. They can't pay out anything more in disability funds than is coming in as a proportional share of Social Security FICA taxes. Well, that means that immediately next year, everybody out there that's on Medicare disability, this is millions and millions of people, would immediately get about a 20% cut in their checks. If we're getting $1,000 a month, they go to $800 a month. Now, whether somebody thinks what's going on with disability is good or bad, that's a whole different argument. But just as a mathematical fact, that would be consequential not only to them, but consequential to the economy and aggregate spending, consumer spending on one hand. But that's just one of many, many examples. And it seems to me, Al, you keep going. We've already hit the debt ceiling again, and it's become so routine that people don't report on this anymore. The Treasury Secretary, Mr. Jack Lew, is already doing extraordinary measures where he's borrowing from Peter to pay Paul and raiding other trust funds out there to continue funding the deficit part of the operations of government. But that reckoning is coming up, and probably no later than about September. And if anything goes wrong, to do anything other than just extend and pretend more, the big day of reckoning starts coming as early as September. So you're exactly right, Al. There's a ton of things out there that are all impactful and consequential, and if any of them go wrong and aren't extended in an artful way, even if that's just kicking the can down the road in an artful way, that the great reckoning that we all that listen to your show and read your website have been looking for will be upon us, and it could be much more much sooner than people, I think, really anticipate.
Now, Glenn, you said one thing on the onset that really stuck with me there, is that the government is so intertwined right now that, yes, we do have all these situations with the highway funding and then as well as the pensions, but the government is, in a sense, almost working together with all these other departments to figure out ways around these situations, such as the debt ceiling. And it does all come down to money. So I think that does also all come down to the Fed and how the government is working with the Fed. Do you think that these cans can continue to get kicked down the road in a somewhat tactful manner?
Well, they've done a better job of it than I thought they would be able to, because when I was here during the financial crisis, I underestimated ability of the powers to be to reflate the bubble and the willingness to do extraordinary things to do that and to do, so pretty euphemistically, regulatory forbearance, where they just turned a blind eye to capital standards and in some cases literally the ongoing criminal activity on behalf of some of these large actors in order to reinflate the bubble. And I overestimated the American people in the extent to the extent that I thought they would just not put up with this anymore. And I, of course, we've learned that most of the people don't want to spend very much time thinking about these things. And if somebody wants to tell them, meaning the government, that they are in charge and they've got everything in hand and things are going to be okay, people want to hear that. And so they go on about living their lives. But the problem becomes, sooner or later, you run into a really, which I think we're already at, a sort of a debt saturation point where the ability to, the only marginal real borrowers out there in the aggregate are governments. And then the next thing you run into what Hyman Minsky would call the Minsky moment, or Ludwig von Mises might call the crack-up boom, where you end up, people, the next time, the next crisis starts unfolding, and it's a crisis not of General Electric and Goldman Sachs, but of sovereign governments. And that's when people start going, well, who, last time they regained confidence because central bankers and sovereign governments said, hey, we're backstopping this, that, and the other thing. And now people say, well, who's going to backstop these sovereign governments? So when that starts unraveling, then you could have a real crisis of confidence, and all kinds of funny things historically seem to happen in those events.
Yeah, and people, unfortunately, don't want to think about it. You know, it's like the concept of death. People don't think about dying because it is such a terrible, terrible upcoming event for everybody. They don't want to think about it. And I think that's exactly what's going on with the psychology today in the United States regarding the U.S. economy. Glenn, always a pleasure. Thanks, man. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show. Food for thought, you have to admit.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Dog Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.